With just weeks remaining before the 2024 election, many eyes are on North Carolina. This is a swing state, which means it's a major target for both Republicans and Democrats. Former President Donald Trump and Vice President Kamala Harris are looking to reach as many North Carolinians as possible before November 5th. I'm joined by Carolina Connections' Madeline Amati, who spoke to North Carolina residents about how this spotlight has affected them and how they feel about casting votes that may hold more power than in previous elections. Madeline, thanks for joining me.
Hi, Henry. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, so North Carolina is going to be an important state this election, and you went out and spoke to some of the voters, especially in Wake County. So with both campaigns spending more time and resources trying to connect with the people who haven't decided whether or not they'll be voting, what kind of things did you hear from the people that you spoke to about how they feel about this increased spotlight on North Carolina?
Absolutely. So one person that I started with speaking to is Steve Rao. He's actually a Morrisville town council member in Wake County, and he's a self-described moderate Democrat. Rao says that his mailbox isn't actually full of the typical flyers and advertisements, but something else.
I'm getting a little burned out with my mailbox being stuffed completely full and my email box completely full and texts coming in every day, even though I know it's not Joe Biden texting me or Attorney General Stein texting me, although I do call him from time to time.
Yeah, so he's talking about election materials and literature there. And with this election so close, these efforts from candidates are actually still ramping up.
Tell me a little bit about why you decided to focus specifically on Wake County. And what did you learn about that area's voting habits?
Yeah, it's a really interesting experience for voters in North Carolina right now. I think especially for those that live in critical counties for both the Harris and Trump campaigns like Wake. First, I think it's important to understand just how close this election is in North Carolina. Recent polls are showing that there's less than a point separating the two candidates. I mean, that's just so, so close. And then I think it's important to understand what areas they're targeting. You know, you mentioned Wake, and in particular, that spot is important because it's the largest county in the state. It's about 11% of North Carolina's population, which is roughly 1.2 million residents. It includes places like Morrisville, Holly Springs, Apex, Raleigh. And then we have to understand the demographic of people there. It's been trending blue recently. I mean, this is an educated area. NC State is right in Wake County. There's a lot of migration. And so those voters for the Harris campaign really need to turn out. In such a hotly contested race, there aren't a lot of swing voters. So the Harris campaign is going to be focusing on getting those people to the polls. Democrats typically need to win the area by a lot. And so if Harris does well there, it may be a good indication of how she does overall in the election.
So with Wake County being so important, with the voters that you spoke to, how do they feel about this potential for their vote to have an increased level of influence?
So I actually spoke to Steve Rao about this as well. We can take a listen to what he had to say.
It's the largest county in the state. I mean, you know, I think if you win Wake and you win Meck and then you win, you know, the other urban areas, you've got a really great chance of winning.
Yeah, and you just heard Steve mention Mecklenburg County there as well, which is also a really important spot for the Democrats. You know, he's emphasizing just how valuable both Wake and Meck are for the Dems.
So turning away from the Democrats for a moment, how about the Trump campaign? When they take a look at North Carolina, what specific counties are they focused on?
Absolutely. I mean, they're focused in North Carolina as well. They need to focus on those smaller rural counties, right? Rural voters likely propelled him to victory back in 2016. And so I think the Trump campaign is looking to make that happen again.
So going back to Wake County for a moment, because that's where you spoke to the most people, how are they feeling about the election in general? You know, not just the fact that their votes may hold more power, but the fact that they're being targeted so heavily by both of these campaigns.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, despite all the campaign rhetoric and engagement that we're seeing on social media, a lot of voters are not spending their time door knocking or rallying for a specific candidate. We spoke with voters in Wake County, and they had a lot of different attitudes toward the election. Like Lydia Clegg, she said it's hard to prioritize.
I'm going to be honest, in the middle of getting my new job and trying to get adjusted, I haven't thought about it as much as I probably should have.
And others say it's a responsibility. So here are locals Sean Tominick and Ray Dyball.
Yeah, I feel like it's important for everyone to at least put their opinion in, whether it's one way or the other, and that way everyone gets a say.
I don't know. I just do my duties and vote. I'm appreciative that we do get time off of work to go vote.
Yeah, I think what they had to say goes to show that for regular people, their regular lives impact their ability to vote, you know, like whether or not they have work, whether or not they have things that they have to do, their daily life. Voting is for some, they consider it almost an inconvenience, something that they have to check off and square away. And so for some people, that alone, even if they're being targeted heavily by these campaigns, you know, just this, the minutia of their daily life is enough to keep them out of the polls. So do you think it's fair to say that some Americans may be disinterested in participating in politics because things like that, or because, you know, sometimes they feel like their vote doesn't actually have a huge impact?
Oh, absolutely. I think we're in a unique situation here where most of the people that are taking time to listen to us are likely somewhat engaged in the election, or at least up to date on what's going on. But a lot of Americans are really, really tired. A Pew Research study from last year actually said that nearly two-thirds of Americans, about 65%, say they always or often feel exhausted when talking about politics. And 55% said they feel angry. So in North Carolina, those individuals who are engaged, they may make a really big difference.
Yeah, I can relate to that angry or tired feeling on occasion. Yeah, so oftentimes when people are disengaged from voting, like I was saying earlier, it might also have to do less so with the minutiae of their daily lives and more with the fact that they don't trust the power of their individual vote. But as we've been discussing, North Carolina might be in a unique position where individual votes actually have more of an impact, as we've been talking with the Wake County residents about. So in a swing state situation like this, is it really possible that a few votes here or there in the right places could really impact the election?
Yeah, well, I spoke with UNC political scientist Sarah Truel Roberts, and she says that it's unlikely that one or two votes alone will flip the race. Every vote will most definitely count.
The state of North Carolina, when you look at registration numbers, is very much a 50-50 state. We now have more people registered as independents than ever before, or here you're registered as an unaffiliated voter, of course, than Democrats or Republicans. And so what that does is it makes it a little bit more challenging to predict precisely how people will be voting on Election Day.
Roberts also told me that it really is a toss-up election and that we likely won't know the results on election night. A recent High Point University poll had both Harris and Trump receiving 48% of the vote. Yep, both of them receiving 48% of the vote. That is a virtual tie.
Yeah, that is incredibly, incredibly close. So you can really see why these candidates and their campaigns would want to focus so heavily on this state right now. Moving to the subject of university students here in North Carolina, how are young voters reacting to this tense election based on what you've found?
This is a really relevant topic. We're seeing it here on UNC Chapel Hill's campus a lot. Every single day, we see voter registration efforts. There are always debate watch parties happening, and lots of efforts to pass out campaign literature and educate people on campus.
And do you think any amount of this high energy has to do with the fact that North Carolina is a swing state? Like, is this just regular state of affairs for election cycles, or are efforts to get people involved, are there more people doing that than normal?
Yeah, I think there are two answers here. One is that young people tend to be more engaged on college campuses. There is a certain energy that comes with being among your peers. But also, I think it makes some people uneasy. I spoke to a UNC Chapel Hill student, Sam Davis, who finds being in a swing state somewhat uncomfortable. Here's what he had to say.
It's a little anxiety-inducing, I feel, especially like when it's super close and you never really know where North Carolina's going to go. We went Republican in the past presidential election, but it seems like it's going to be a lot more competitive even than before, and I had no idea where we were going to go last time.
Davis actually told me that he moved his voter registration from Wake County to Orange County so that he could vote at school, which is really interesting because the convenience factor for him really outweighed the benefits of voting back in Wake County.
So then you have some voters that will try to be voting in specific areas, or, you know, are voting because they believe their vote may hold more power in this election. But then you have other people like Davis who are moving the county that they're voting in for convenience sake, even though it may ultimately matter less in a solidly blue county like Orange. Moving on to other topics that are affecting the election here in North Carolina, I know that the effects of Helene are hot on everybody's mind right now. And it's also hot on the minds of the campaigns of these candidates because they are obviously going to be responsible for the ongoing disaster relief that will take months or even years. So how do you think that the hurricane could impact this election based on what you've found?
Yeah, Hurricane Helene was absolutely devastating for North Carolina and may very well impact the election, too. Here's Roberts again on that.
I think one thing to watch carefully is, unfortunately, the atrocities in the western part of the state. There's going to be a lot of trouble for people accessing voting places, which it's a really great thing then that we have early voting available in North Carolina, which will give people many more options when it comes to getting out to vote.
And just to reiterate, Roberts told me that there are a lot of unknowns when it comes to this election. But I think the hurricane and its impacts just reemphasize that all these variables will really make for a tight election.
Yeah, so I just recently saw that the State Board of Elections has a new webpage for voters impacted by hurricane devastation. What's that page recommending?
Yeah, a couple of things. One is that if you requested an absentee ballot and you have since been displaced, you can actually contact the State Board of Elections to spoil your old ballot and get a new one at your new location. Another interesting thing is that if you lost an ID during Helene, you can fill out a photo ID exception form at your voting place, or you can send it back with your absentee ballot. They'll send you an exception form with your absentee packet in the mail. And then you can check the box for exception 3, victim of natural disaster, and sign the form. And that should make sure you're good to go. Another recommendation is that you check registration deadlines ahead of time and you make a voting plan if you have been impacted. The Trump campaign actually released recently on October 8th in a press release 10 different things they want to see for these disaster areas when it comes to voting. They're essentially suggesting increased voter access for impacted people.
Well, and that could go back to the point you brought up earlier that the Trump campaign is specifically looking at targeting voters in smaller rural counties. Those are exactly the type of counties that were impacted the most by Helene. So it's fair to say that the Trump campaign, which may surprise some people, but is actually calling for increased access to voters being able to reach the polls in the face of this natural disaster. I'm curious if you have a more specific breakdown of the numbers across North Carolina, just in relation to the way that the Trump campaign and the Harris campaign are targeting different areas.
Absolutely. If we look at the numbers, it actually makes a lot of sense why the Trump campaign is trying to increase voter access in these specific disaster areas. You know, FEMA declared 25 different disaster counties and then added Mecklenburg County, which I will note these numbers are coming from before that addition of Mecklenburg County, which is very blue because of Charlotte. But let's look at the breakdown by party. So in the 25 disaster counties, there are over 1.2 million registered voters. And I think what's important to note is there are party affiliations. In those areas, 293,397 are registered with the Democratic Party. 480,916 are registered Republicans, and 491,098 are registered as unaffiliated. I think there's two things to take away from here. One is that there are a lot of registered Republicans in those areas that have been impacted by the hurricane. And two, there's also a lot of question marks. The largest portion of people out of the entire breakdown are unaffiliated. We don't know which direction they're voting. So I think the Trump campaign is looking to ensure that those Republicans can vote and also make sure that all of the Republican votes in the unaffiliated sector can also vote. The other thing that we should talk about are the absentee ballots that were already sent. 47,000 were sent. Only 5,680 were returned. 47,897 were sent. 42,217 are still outstanding. Those are the ones that have not been returned. So there are a lot of ballots out there where people haven't made their selections yet. And I think the Trump campaign wants to make sure they're able to.
All right. So that's just one issue that's going to be hot in the minds of voters when they go to cast their votes this election. As you're mentioning, some already have via absentee ballots. Early voting will be starting on October 17th. So these issues will be at the forefront of this election. What do you think people need to have in mind when they're heading to the polls here in North Carolina?
Yeah, well, as you said, early voting begins October 17th and it does end November 2nd. So you do have a pretty short period of time to get that done. Before that, you can fix any issues with your voter registration during the early voting period, but not on election day. So if there's a challenge, you have to make sure you fix it before election day. It's also important that people check their voter registration status before election day and make a voting plan. Go with a friend. Bring a friend. Make sure you know where you're voting. Make sure you know the time you're able to vote. I'm personally planning to vote in person and early. What about you? Do you want to share?
Yeah, I'm planning on doing the same. I plan on voting in person early. I'm actually registered in Chatham County because we care about school board election results out there. And so as we were discussing, people voting or registering in places, especially college students where they feel like, it's either convenient for them or they feel their vote can make the most impact. That's actually the specific reason why I decided to register in Chatham County, because I want to make sure that my vote has the most impact. And that is a county in which things are more likely to swing one direction or the other than here in Orange County. That's just one other way that the impact of an individual vote, it's relative to what's going on in the election, what issues are at the forefront of people's minds, and which state you're in, which county you're in. And so all of those things are things that I personally take into account when making my plan to vote. That's my plan.
And I'm so glad you mentioned that, too. We spent a lot of time talking about the presidential election today, but there are so many races down the ballot that are critical for people to think about. And they can look up their sample ballots online to learn more about those candidates as well.
All right. That was Carolina Connections' Madeline Amati with a breakdown of voting across North Carolina. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me.